He finally lost all contact with the war. What in other times had been a real activity, an irresistible passion of his youth, became a remote point of reference for him, an emptiness. His only refuge was Amaranta's sewing room. He would visit her every afternoon. He liked to watch her hands as she curled frothy petticoat cloth in the machine that was kept in motion by Remedios the Beauty. They spent many hours without speaking, content with their reciprocal company. But while Amaranta was inwardly pleased in keeping the fire of his devotion alive, he was unaware of the secret designs of that indecipherable heart. When the news of his return reached her, Amaranta had been smothered by anxiety. But when she saw him enter the house in the middle of Colonel Aureliano Buendia's noisy escort, and she saw how he had been mistreated by the rigors of exile, made old by age and oblivion, dirty with sweat and dust, smelling like a herd, ugly, with his left arm in a sling, she felt faint with disillusionment. "My God," she thought, "this wasn't the person I was waiting for." On the following day, however, he came back to the house shaved and clean, with his mustache perfumed with lavender water and without the bloody sling. He brought her a prayer book bound in mother of pearl. "How strange men are," she said, because she could not think of anything else to say. "They spend their lives fighting against priests and then give prayer books as gifts." From that time on, even during the most critical days of the war, he visited her every afternoon. Many times, when Remedios the Beauty was not present, it was he who turned the wheel on the sewing machine. Amaranta felt upset by the perseverance, the loyalty, the submissiveness of that man who was invested with so much authority, and who nevertheless took off his sidearms in the living room so that he could go into the sewing room without weapons. But for 4 years he kept repeating his love, and she would always find a way to reject him without hurting him, for even though she had not succeeded in loving him, she could no longer live without him. Remedios the Beauty, who seemed indifferent to everything and who was thought to be mentally retarded, was not insensitive to so much devotion, and she intervened in Colonel Gerineldo Marquez's favor. Amaranta suddenly discovered that the girl she had raised, who was just entering adolescence, was already the most beautiful creature that had ever been seen in Macondo. She felt reborn in her heart the rancor that she had felt in other days for Rebecca, and begging God not to impel her into the extreme state of wishing her dead, she banished her from the sewing room. It was around that time that Colonel Gerineldo Marquez began to feel the boredom of the war. He summoned his reserves of persuasion, his broad and repressed tenderness, ready to give up for Amaranta a glory that had cost him the sacrifice of his best years. But he could not succeed in convincing her. One August afternoon, overcome by the unbearable weight of her own obstinacy, Amaranta locked herself in her bedroom to weep over her solitude unto death after giving her final answer to her tenacious suitor. "Let's forget about each other forever," she told him. "We're too old for this sort of thing now." Colonel Gerineldo Marquez had a telegraphic call from Colonel Aureliano Buendia that afternoon. It was a routine conversation which was not going to bring about any break in the stagnant war. At the end, Colonel Gerineldo Marquez looked at the desolate streets, the crystal water on the almond trees, and he found himself lost in solitude. "Aureliano," he said sadly on the key, "it's raining in Macondo." There was a long silence on the line. Suddenly the apparatus jumped with the pitiless letters from Colonel Aureliano Buendia. "Don't be a jackass, Gerineldo," the signal said. "It's natural for it to be raining in August." They had not seen each other for such a long time that Colonel Gerineldo Marquez was upset by the aggressiveness of the reaction. 2 months later, however, when Colonel Aureliano Buendia returned to Macondo, his upset was changed to stupefaction. Even Ursula was surprised at how much he had changed. He came with no noise, no escort, wrapped in a cloak in spite of the heat, and with three mistresses, whom he installed in the same house, where he spent most of his time lying in a hammock. He scarcely read the telegraphic dispatches that reported routine operations. On one occasion, Colonel Gerineldo Marquez asked him for instructions for the evacuation of a spot on the border where there was a danger that the conflict would become an international affair. "Don't bother me with trifles," he ordered him. "Consult divine providence."